Editor-at-Large Ian Schur from CNET's on the phone, and I've got a few questions for him once again. Hi, Ian. Thanks for joining us.
Of course. How are you doing?
Really good. I was talking about, it might have been characterized as complaining, about the cost of a smartphone the other day. I just bought one over the weekend, and the four phones that were displayed before me at the Apple Store ranged in price from around $800 to $1,000. Would you just comment on the cost of these things, and do you think it's worth it? I can see why you might say yes, but what's your reaction to that?
Well, I mean, I think that, honestly, the price of phones have just been going up over the last few years. Ever since the iPhone X came out, which, if I'm doing my math right, was 2017, that actually pushed the average price of premium phones up above $1,000. And that was, at the time, people thought that was crazy and that there was a real question whether people would pay it. Well, it turned out to be one of Apple's most successful phones. So now Samsung, Apple, pretty much every premium phone maker is living in that $1,000 range. However, Apple does offer, as you pointed out, down to about $699. But they are obviously pushing you toward that $1,000 price. And look, I mean, these are little, you know, my little powerful computers in our pockets. It's really hard to kind of figure out what is worth what at this point. You know, they constantly are trying to prove to us that these are worth upgrading for. They keep upgrading the cameras and all this stuff, but is it really worth it? But to their credit, there are cheaper phones out there. The iPhone SE, for example, which is running an older design but has newer parts in it.
That's the one I have. That's the one I have.
Right. Yeah, that one is actually way affordable, right? It's $400. And Samsung has a similar one. They use plastic instead of glass and whatnot. They call those the A series of Samsung instead of the Galaxy series phones, but they basically the same as the Galaxy series phones, just, you know, not as good cameras and stuff. So there are ways that they're offering cheaper phones because they realize there are people who are like, why do I need a $1,000 phone?
Yeah. Well, I have the SE, and when I take it out because it's a smaller size, people marvel at it. They literally will comment on it like, dude, whoa, throwback. And I'm like, well, actually, it's got pretty good guts. It's just a smaller, older-looking phone, but it didn't cost me $1,000.
So exactly.
I can live with that. But then when I do buy a $1,000 phone or an $800 phone, they say, okay, do you want $149 of Apple Care or whatever that insurance plan is? That was telling. So what do you think about that?
Well, when it comes to Apple Care, there's actually been a lot of research done into a lot of these kind of insurance things and whatnot. And generally speaking, if you look at Consumer Reports, we had seen that don't really go over a lot of the insurance stuff, but Consumer Reports has gone pretty deep into it. And they say that most of them are not worth it. They do call out Apple Care as one of the few that seems to be worth it if you end up needing it. You know, generally speaking, of course, insurance seems useless unless you need it. But generally, you know, when it comes to Apple Care, they seem to have gotten good marks. That doesn't mean that you need it. And I personally, for example, used to buy Apple Care on all my phones. Now I don't at all because I've gotten really good at putting very good cases on them and even, you know, protector on my phone as well so that if it falls, it doesn't break, right? If the case will protect it or the screen protector breaks, and then I just put on a new one of those.
And that's mostly what you need it for. The phones don't malfunction much, do they?
No. I mean, at this point, they really do their job really well. And that's part of what I think has been also a real kind of testament to the tech industry at this point is that, you know, we keep looking at these phones and thinking, wow, you know, they're really becoming capable of doing all sorts of stuff. They're trying to take over being our cameras. They're trying to take over being our computers in a lot of ways. And if you think of what they've been able to do starting back from 2007 up to now, it's incredible how much they've advanced. And I think that, you know, generally speaking, that makes them pretty impressive devices.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, I tend to upgrade generally because I want the better camera. That's my big thing, right? I've got young kids, but everyone's different.
What about the 3G? Is that going away, 3G service?
Yeah, there's a lot of interest in that. And there was talk from all of the major phone carriers, AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile. If you don't have one of those three, you're actually just using a company that piggybacks off it. So if you have, Mint or one of the Metro or one of these other ones, they're actually just using the other carrier's network. So you still need to know when it comes to Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, when they're shutting these things down. They had planned on shutting down their networks starting, in some cases, the end of this year, but mostly in the next couple of years. They've since decided not to. They say that they feel like at this point they are seeing that people still want to use it. They find that shutting it down may actually disrupt some of the devices out there, not really phones. Practically no one has a 3G phone anymore, but there are other devices out there that are using 3G. For example, some people's Kindles are still running on 3G and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
So it's going to be probably still a little while before they do, and even then they're going to probably have an answer for if you need to access 3G.
I heard it unequivocally from a listener that it was going to be Monday next week that 3G is going to go bye-bye, that if your phone or Kindle is operating on 3G, that it's not going to happen anymore.
Yeah, that's not really the case from everything that we've been hearing. Generally speaking, the companies, again, they had been planning to start shutting stuff down this year, but really the pandemic has changed all of their opinions, and now they are holding off. They do say that they want to be able to free up that spectrum to create better 4G and 5G connections. Before you start worrying about 4G getting shut down, 5G requires 4G, so they're never really going to get rid of 4G. But at this point, it seems as though they see the value in keeping it around, at least so they don't upset us all while we're dealing with this massive, terrible event around the world.
You mean the pandemic?
Yeah, the pandemic, not the shutting down of 3G.
That's Ian Schur, editor-at-large at CNET.